discursively, ironically, within the architecture theory chair. I'm very happy today the same chair invited me to share my perspectives on MA and how this learned me to approach architecture from a different way. And I would say it's not in opposition, but in addition to what is already widely available here. To me, MA is an open invitation to approach architecturally from our crucial bodily dimension. I think this bodily dimension gives way to the emergence of alternative meanings and values through what I would say social-environmental interaction. Following this motto, contact is content, I see working with or within MA as a fundamental skill to develop our ability to understand the relationship between people and environment. And although MA is looked upon already from many perspectives and also misunderstood in very many ways, I think it's highly relevant to look up on this tradition, this Japanese tradition again, because we are now in an architectural discourse that focuses, that changes its focus from object to experience. And we live in an urban environment characterized by the ubiquity of imminent change and movement that exceeds cognitive and sensitive abilities of our species. And I think an awareness to MA brings an alternative perspective to build upon. Therefore, today we look upon MA from a contemporary and also global perspective, understanding MA not just as a Japanese concept, but also figure out what can we do with it today in this context. To elaborate on this question, I will first introduce you to MA and the exhibition as was shown 40 years ago. Commonly, MA is translated as the interval between two things or between two temporal events. It's not only used to suggest measurement, but also carries meaning as gap or opening in between or space between and time between. And however, this translation lacks kind of a full understanding because we don't have the right word in English. If you look at the original character of MA, this is, by the way, the front cover of the exhibition catalog. You can see that it actually depicts a. I'm not sure if this thing is working. Actually, I don't. It's a gate, the traditional sign for gate.
Maybe the pointer of.
Yeah, but it is out of battery.
No, I mean this, the mouse.
The mouse.
Let me see the little hand.
Oh, this one. Ah, yeah. So this is the gate, and this is the original sign for moon. So it doesn't mean. An opening of doors, but it actually means the exact moment in which the moonlight or sunlight comes within these two doors. So it denotes an active happening within a void, within a spatial-temporal experience. So in our architectural context, actually MA shows a moment in which time and space have not been disentangled as two different and abstract notions, but it is presented as a single and sensible spatial-temporal experience. And I think, actually, this paper I found in the archive of the exhibition shows exactly how difficult this is for Western people to understand it. They were still talking about spatial or Japanese space along the whole process of the exhibition, and it had to be like, corrected every time again. The exhibition was first shown in Paris, but afterwards it also moved to New York in the Cooper Hewitt Museum, and it also moved to Houston. And in 2000, there was a revised version of this exhibition presented in Tokyo. The exhibition exists of 9 spatial-temporal installations, and they all show up different dimensions of MA in different ways. So Isozaki uses concepts, like really Japanese words, but also replicas of traditional Japanese art and architecture, reenactments of traditional works in which Isezaki himself makes a contemporary iteration or abstraction, and completely new works of invited Japanese artists by that time. Doing so, Isezaki follows a line of a wider development in exhibition making at that time. The architecture exhibition as environment, rather than considering the exhibition as a display of concrete or representational objects, he understands this architecture exhibition as an immersive and experiential environment. As I quote Isozaki, "I sorted Ma-like phenomena into 9 frames of reference, and to each I applied a concept, a historical example, and the work of a contemporary artist. At the same time, the presentation of analytical conceptual art," oh, I have to quote, "showing the juxtaposition of a word, dictionary definition, and object was already popular, but I wanted to present Ma in all its linguistic and non-linguistic performative aspects by invoking bodily experience through installations the onlooker might participate in, rather than to set for a mere static concept." To me, this is an excellent example of or art or architecture science that shows the research both in a conceptual way and in a very experiential way. To give you an idea of the diversity of the exhibition, I will just walk you through the Paris exhibition based on the archive material. But the order of the presentation doesn't really matter, because in New York and in Houston they had a completely different floor plan and a completely different way of understanding this. And while this is the floor plan of the, so we're actually going to walk up here, and then we enter here through this room, we go up there, and we meander through the whole exhibition and come out here again. Well, welcome to the exhibition. I would invite you to stay close to your experience. We just had a wonderful experience, but also use your kinesthetic imagination of peeking through, walking through, and even maybe climbing through the exhibition environment. When you walk up the stairs, this is the first view you have. And whilst in this exhibition you don't have to climb through, in traditional Japanese tea houses you have to. This is the way how you approach, so you make immediately contact, literally, with the material to get in. So now we can zigzag around a bit. And then in the first room, the concept Utsumushimi is presented, that actually shows, freely translated, is the physical projected in reality. So what you can do with your body and how this shows the space. Ma is a place in which a life is lived. And it's shown work of all kinds of photographs of living spaces in Japan, where originally both the room where you live in and the way you use it is explained as Ma. Then we continue to the next room. In this room there are several works that all show this understanding of Michiyuki, which is Ma, that organizes the process of movement from one place to another. So there is a replica of a part of a tea garden and the front door, and you can already imagine that if you walk on the stones, the rhythm of your walk and the experience of the space will be defined, these are the stepping stones, so if you walk over it, actually how you walk and how you breathe is defined by the stepping stones. Another way to present this organization of process of movement is, for example, the work that is called 35 Stations of Tokaido. That's a Japanese artist, Hiroshige, who made frames of all the stations between Tokyo and Kyoto and presented it in this way. And using this frame from one frame to the other, with little ma in between it gives a spatial representation of this hood. What Isozaki also did in the exhibition is that he himself made this tour again and made new diagrams more related to this situation to show that it is not necessarily a specific work, but it's an action you do and learn about and how you experience space in this or space-time. The next room is Suki. It's freely... spelling mistakes. But it's freely translated as according to taste or a structural unit of living space. So it shows both a kind of way to measure a tea house, but also how the materials of the tea house are chosen based on taste and together make an assemblage. Similar way with making a haiku or looking for quotations that interest you, you make a kind of assemblage that then form the atmosphere of the room. Then we move, and he made a contemporary interpretation of abstraction of this traditional tea house. Actually, this is the Paris version in which he built the tea house one-to-one, but with modern material. And the other one is an abstraction of the tea house, and there you immediately see also the relation to it's super easy to make a connection to Mondrian. And then if you ask Isozaki, he says, yes, it's arbitrary, the colors. But yeah, let's see. Then we move on. So we have now already moved like this. So we move on to Yami. And this is where a no stage is made again. And people are in this exhibition invited to perform. And both traditional instruments are performed there, but also more by that time contemporary artists are invited to show how they work. So for example, if you think about dance, you have both Buto performers, which is a really traditional Japanese form of art, but you also have Mintanaka, who formed body weather movement by that time, showing an interpretation of Buddha. And then we... Oh yeah, so you have some pictures of how that looked like. Then we move on to the next one. This is actually a picture of the space, and it's making a reference to the Ishin Shrine in Japan. This is a shrine that is rebuilt every 20 years from this space to that space and back again. Continuously. And it shows Ma as a system for indication of the place where the gods descend upon. And actually, I understand it similarly to the moonlight streaming in the doors. This is you mark a place and you wait on a moment that something might be happening. The next one is then Hashi. This is where actually again the same concept is developed as Ma divides the world. And in this way you have to understand dividing as connecting at the same time. So it's both edge and bridge at the same time. By making a division between this and this, you also immediately establish a relation between it. And this is developed in sculptures. I think there's another sculpture here, in which the connections between class plates are really finely presented. You can also think about this in terms of traditional Japanese joints in architecture or tectonics, where they don't use screws, and it's all as you can place it together and get it out very easily. Then we moved on to the next one. That is Ma as the way of sensing the moment of movement. This is explained by the concept utsuroi. And if you freely translate it, you have to understand utsuroi as a way to experience space or space-time through vibrations. So all these little moments in the environment where, I don't know, a drop is falling in the water or the seasons are passing by, you can imagine you might feel this somewhere as little vibrations in your body. And this is then further developed in the sculpture here. And then the next room is Sabi. This is a term maybe a lot of you know from Wabi Sabi. Actually, the Sabi pass, Sabi part, is about this very moment of something moving, but then also in materials. So when something gets rusty. Actually, this whole room is called the rusty room, and it's a sign of things to decay or things to get born again, something like that. And then we have the last one, Ma is an alignment of signs. This is where you have contemporary quiche, like this, from Japan, to show how different things, different signs, can create meaning together if you connect them. So this was the whole exhibition, and the whole exhibition then is supported with a catalog and intermediate panels that are all around the exhibition. Now, let me continue, because what do we have to do with this as architects? I sometimes ask myself. I think there are a few things. The exhibition was received with great price and discussed in professional as well as public media as an extraordinary oriental experience. But then if we look at Isozaki, actually he says already by that time it was not just a Japanese thing anymore. I think like a few years before and a few years after the exhibition, more specifically between the French Student Revolution and the fall of the Berlin Wall, also within Euro-American context, a similar cognition and sensitivity to integrated space-time was appearing. And although there seemed no direct relation for the specific Japanese vocabulary depicting Ma, the postmodern philosophical activist discourse emerging in Paris around that time shows resonating concepts, and also the work of Japanese artist Arakawa and American philosopher Madeleine Ginz in New York shows highly resonating concepts. So following these global movements, I understand Ma and all the resonating concepts as a tool to reconsider architectural habits. But since the Euro-American context still seems to lack concrete architectural examples, I want to elaborate shortly on the influence this spatial-temporal sensitivity has on Japanese architecture, both in process and in configuration. Immaterial but active and real, Ma resulted in a concept and techniques to approach architectural design. It shows a specific Japanese craftsmanship called movement space and a unique approach to design characterized as co-becoming, or translated by Isozaki as co-becoming. Isozaki would say Japanese design is not placed in the environment, but a derivative of the environment. In Japan, Japanese, there are two opposed concepts for this, which he then explains or translates as a difference between construction and becoming. And although for many contemporary architects, these two ways to approach design process are not in opposition to each other, there seems a possibility to introduce a modern subject into Japanese architecture. In general, the construction part was considered as a Western approach, and the co-becoming was considered as a Japanese approach. And how would then this co-becoming look like? It's achieved by multiplying your perspective. So design subjectively oriented is left behind, and designers are taught to identify themselves with the objecthood of the environment without mediation. So for example, in Japanese garden design, you were asked to listen to the environment and follow its voice. And then I can quote, "Facing a natural stone, I begin to hear its voice. My work is just to follow the voice. My role is just to help it a bit. The placement of the stone must follow the stone's request. The subject is the stone itself, whose judgment is unquestioned. The intent of the stone must be learned through experience by letting the stone speak. In order to become a more sensitive listener, the potential garden designers reside in nature, observes and imitates, and lets sink in his body by sketching. Armed with a sketchpad and notebook, the garden designer might devote as many as 3 years to travel from the highlands to the fields and plains, from the mountain to the sea, while drawing his impressions and living close to the natural forces of the earth. By doing so, he not only sees it, but also makes what he sees own to his, he uses it in his own body. In other words, the garden designer trains to become an embodied listener. In the performance arts, like Bhutto and Edmure's practices, this listening to and breathing with and moving with becomes even more explicit. In contemporary practice of body weather, as evolved from the Japanese Bhutto, performers move with the environment to find the co-resonant in the body. A body weather dances not in the place, but rather dances the place. As the body weather practitioner resides in the landscape, she opens up to hear the call of the place. She listens and finds a co-resonance in her body. So both examples show how the rhythm of the environment is inhabited in the body and design process to co-become and let emerge the design, be it a garden or a performance. Listening to, breathing with, and moving with are all means to not only sense and inhabit, but also vitalize the environmental vibrations. And then they still do it in architecture. For example, a contemporary Japanese architect, Hiroshi Sambayuchi, he maky energy scapes, and he's doing this by using all kind of modern equipment to listen to the environment, and then uses this as the basis for his design process. This listening to and moving with also results in an alternative approach to architectural configuration. This is something what is called movement space, where it's completely different from geometrical space, where there are all kinds of movement forms that engage you to experience space-time. This uniquely Japanese quality becomes visible in the representation and mapping as reversibility, and in environmental design, for example, as zigzags and spirals. So you have to imagine that was maybe to make a strict in Western or geometrical space, it's very strict and straight lines. But then if you move around in a Japanese space-time, it's much more fluent. And I hope everybody experienced that in the presentation, in the performances this afternoon. So if you then oppose, for example, the Forbidden City in Beijing to a Japanese tea house, you see immediately on the floor plans how you would move differently in this kind of spaces. And this is also in the representation. You don't have a map that is just standing like this with one up, but you have to turn around the map in order to understand it. And this is also used in the exhibition catalog, for example. Similar to, oh yeah, and I can make the distinction then between, you know, the traditional Western approach to it, but it's also different from the Chinese approach, where there's a focus on voids, whilst here there is a focus on voids, but that is even more on this activity within the void, which you can also immediately see in the representation of it. And also, this is seen in contemporary architecture in Japan. It's not that it's something really nice from 40 years ago or even longer ago. You can still see the influences, for example, in the Ishikami, the kite workshop by Ishikami, where he, and I think I even have the book with it, where he mapped for, I don't know how long, for months, he changed all the columns, but he developed a kind of tracking system in the computer to see how he changed the columns every day, and then overlaid it, and from there said, okay, these are the places we need to, if you have this space, this is what it's emerging from if you use it differently every time. In which I see a different approach than how I was taught to approach space in this faculty. So I'm kind of rounding up. But how can this Japanese architectural design traditions function as a potential learning ground to support contemporary architecture? Does this open call for listening to stones imply environmental designers have to collectively open up to their spiritual or even schizophrenic capacities? Under influence of this digitalization, globalization, and environmental degradation, a new embodied spatial-temporal sensitivity emerges also in Western society. Explained as a sensitivity to vibration, movement, and rhythm, the act of listening to, breathing with, and moving with makes even sense in contemporary discourse. We might even relate this to Mulgrave's recent argument that empathy as a talent can be developed and refined and is more important to the practice of the architect than its technical skills. When he writes, the architect has to internalize the client. He has to turn himself into the client. Should we train for empathy towards our environment? And do we all need to zigzag and reverse our architectural plans in order to offer alternative social environmental relations? I won't say Japan has the answer, but I would like to, you know, offer this as a discussion for a topic of discussion later on. To me, as art scientist, something like that, Ma denotes the relation between people and environment that can be entered through the felt sense. It shows the crucial bodily dimension of the emergent spatial-temporal experience that can help to articulate connection in our segregated urban environment. But with that, to me, it marks the emergence of an integrated research field. And with integrated, I mean in between Japan and West, in between art and science, in between, let's say, hard science and body practices, or that studies the relation between people and environment with artistically and designerly methods. With a focus on tiny perceptions, a completely new world opens up in which we experience and become aware of this experience at the same time. And then suddenly an infinite amount of little knowledges emerge from this practice, which I consider as embodied cognition. In May, and that's why I chose this picture, I was in the Bioscleef House in New York, as designed by Arakawa and Gins. And for the first time, I could experiment there for 10 days in this super weird environment to see, okay, what can I learn if I use my body and how does it work different? And I was amazed by the amount of things you suddenly start to understand if you start to look and be aware of it and try to move what you think about this. So things about depth, things about our relation to the horizon, all these different kind of things emerge. And I definitely believe that within this architectural faculty there should be space and time, space time to learn this and to work with this. And this is also what we have been doing the past 1.5 week in Art Science. Therefore, I want to thank all the students. I'm not sure if it's... I want to thank all the students again. Dan, Zoe, Anne, Annie, Torje, Sebastian, Victor, Ivan, Liane, Flora, and Koki for your guidance. I think we would never be able to grow this embodied cognition if it's not through experimentation and the things that we did during this week, listening to small chords and seeing what's coming out of there. So Ma introduced to me a dimension which I can envision us moving differently. It invites me to play and use my body as a research tool and as a design tool. And I openly invite you to join this process, I would say. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have time for questions or we wait for the round table? What would you prefer?
I think wait for the... I see you nodding. For what? I thought... Do it on the round, because maybe there are also questions for the students.
Yes,
so
yes,
around
it. Yeah. But before we do, I forgot one thing. We haven't announced...
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Shall we
do it? Yeah, do you.
Okay, so you will be very happy to know, I'm certainly happy, that the faculty's committee has approved Renske's proposal for the remaking of the Ma exhibition that we saw on the first slides here at TU Delft. The BK Expo space, it's on the eastern side of the building. And we're talking about the, is it a 3 week, from 11, in any case, 11 to 24, 9 to 24 May of 2019.
No, the opening.
Yes. So we will have a chance, I mean, we consider this as a kickoff event for that actually exhibition. So a toilet break. And we are back in this room for a round table. I have hundreds of questions.
Okay. Will we bring the tables for round
table? Yes.
Please.
Yes. Yes.
Ah, it's a yes.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise you're completely exposed. Nobody